Tonight, a new global info analytics poll reveals two flagship policies the Mahama government campaigned on to power. 24-hour economy and Women's Development Bank are failures, receiving low approval rates from voters.
The edibles, you have the toffee, you have the sobolu. Basically, what you want to infuse it with, so like adding weed to something.
Finance Minister Kasiel Attuforsen has responded by saying critics lack appreciation of the fine details of the program. So is the program that the government has failed to communicate clearly, or that the policies themselves are not delivering on the ground? We speak to the minister in charge of government communications to find out what has gone wrong with the flagship 24-hour economy policy right here on the Top Story program. My name is Kenneth Jesse. When we return from the break, we get into the details. Don't go anywhere. That there is a campaign song that pushed the NDC government's message hard on the 24-hour economy in the run-up to the 2024 elections. Well, a new poll by Global Info Analytics has shown that President Mahama's government remains underwater with voters on its 24-hour economy and the Women's Development Bank policies, two flagship programs which helped drive a successful 2024 campaign for the Jubilee House. The poll shows the Women's Development Bank scored 4.6, while the 24-hour economy scored 4.2. The four other key government policies, namely the no academic fee policy, the big push agenda, tax reliefs, and the national apprenticeship program, emerged as the best performing policies. That is according to the polls. My colleague Michael Ashale has been going through the findings and is joining me in the studio right now with more highlights from the polls released by Global Info Analytics. And Michael, what were the key policies that the voters rated according to the latest poll?
So what we know, Kenneth, is that the policies were no academic fee policy, the $10 billion big push, tax reliefs, national apprenticeship, and Ejumura Development Bank, and also the 24-hour economy. The poll we have seen shows Women's Development Bank and the 24-hour economy are the most, or are the major government policies voters rated poorly. 4.6 and 4.2 out of a score of 10, respectively. No academic fee policy and the big push, tax reliefs, and national apprenticeship program were the best performance, scoring 6.1, 6.0, 5.8, and then 5.5, respectfully, Kenneth.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Let's go on to Zoom right now and speak to the man who led this new poll. Musa Dankwa is the Executive Director of Global Info Analytics. Musa, grateful for your time this evening. What informed this special polling, first of all?
Right, thank you very much for having me. We are going to be doing what we call a longitudinal tracking poll of voters. And we chose July to be the month. So whilst we were preparing to go to survey for July for this special poll, we decided to take along other issues that are burning across the country. And one of them was the key policy of the government that they wrote on to win the elections. So among other things we surveyed, we decided to find out from people how they rate the government policies on free academic policy, the $10 billion big push, tax reliefs, national apprenticeship, development bank, and the almighty 24-hour economy. So the views you have there is the views of voters when it comes to assessing what they think or how they think the government has performed on those policies.
Interesting. Let's look at the fine details now. Your poll shows the 24-hour economy scored 4.2 out of 10 and the Women's Development Bank scored 4.6 out of 10. Would you say this reflects dissatisfaction with the policies themselves or frustration with the pace of implementation after government promised quick results?
I think it's frustration due to pace of implementation. Let's pick the Women's Bank, for example. Bank is not on paper. Bank are seen operating on our main street. They have not seen any of the banks yet. So for them, that is a wait and see. They haven't seen it. They've had $410 million been put aside as seed capital, but they haven't seen the branch yet. So I think what will happen is that when the branches begin to open, perception will begin to change with regards to how they perform on that. The biggest one is the 24-hour economy, which I think is their biggest headache. It was sold as 133, but if you listen to what is happening in the 24-hour economy, it has shifted completely to a different thing, which is bigger than 133. And I think unless they're able to explain themselves very well, I mean very well, to the satisfaction of people, it will still be a drag on them. Mm. Alternatively, if jobs becomes abundant and people get jobs, they wouldn't care whether they would got a job through 133 or just 111. Mm. So it's jobs, and lack of jobs is pushing them to really rate the 24-hour economy very low.
And where respondents asked whether they believe these policies can succeed if it is properly implemented, or was the assessment only based on their current performance?
Yes, assessment based on the current performance. Mm.
Musa Dankwa, grateful for your time this evening. That's the Executive Director of Global Info Analytics there. And the government has come under fire on the seeming lack of action on its flagship policy. And the heat has squarely been on the Finance Minister, Kasiel Attoforsen. Critics say Attoforsen deliberately left out the 24-hour economy and other key government promises in the media budget review. Former Finance Minister Mohammed Amin Adam called it a betrayal and an omission that exposes the cracks in government's flagship agenda. Listen to him.
The reality is that this media budget left out some important issues that they promised the people of Ghana. Can you remember throughout the minister's presentation a single mention of the 24-hour economy?
No.
Did you hear a single mention of the 24-hour economy?
No.
Which is their flagship economic blueprint? And so the young people of Ghana must now know that this government is not going to give them the jobs they promised them. Did you hear throughout the minister's presentation a single mention of the 1 million coders program?
No.
Johnny. Again, apart from the 24-hour economy, which is about jobs for the youth, the 1 million coders program is about jobs for the youth. We didn't hear a single mention of it. The speech mentioned Big Push, but I can tell you that Big Push is not big pushing. It needs a push.
Mohammed Amin Adam is former finance minister, but we've also been hearing from Finance Minister Kasiel Attoforsen, who is blaming the minority for not reading the fine details.
You mean how much we spent on them?
You get an update.
Okay. It is in the again.
Why didn't you?
It was a bit again. The speech was getting a bit too much for me to remember. This is just a media review.
But this is your flagship.
Yes. I think it is in the document.
The full
document is there. I've given updates. How much money they have mobilized? How much they are working on? Incentive package that we are working on, everything is in the
so when I pick the full document, I'll see the update.
If you pick the full document, you'll see under the policy initiative section is the first one.
Okay, but on top of that, can you tell me out of the 110 million you budget, yes, how much you actually release, how
I
much
in excess? It will be difficult for me to give you precise numbers, but in terms of budget execution, we're on course. Remember, the money we allocated for them is for the secretariat to function in terms of wages and salaries of the secretariat, their goods and services, and all. And so it's not something that is delaying. You have to certainly pay somebody's wages and salaries. You have to certainly give them goods and service for them to run the activities of the secretariat. And so that, I can assure you, that we are releasing it.
What do you say to the criticism from the minority today that the only reason they didn't find space in what you read before the House is because the 24-hour economic program has collapsed?
I think it is a bit of lack of understanding on the part of the minority to appreciate what the 24-hour economic policy stands for. 24-hour economy is a private sector-led transformation of Ghana's economy. It is not all about just opening chop bars and restaurants and fuel stations. It's more than that. It is more of identifying major transformational policies in creating enclaves that can turn around this economy. For example, we mentioned the Afram River, the Afram Plains. By building that bridge alone, the 24-hour economies program, Grow 24, using the Volta Enclave as the agro-processing zone, is going to materialize because they are bringing investment into that enclave for them to work all year round, from agriculture to processing, from processing to export and all. So it actualizes the program. The Honorable, the Venerable Guzitano has been going round to explain the rationale behind the 24-hour economy. And I think we need to do a lot more work to educate Ghanaians on the details of 24-hour economy. And then but it is not just opening shops for 24 hours.
And it's more than that. Second one I didn't hear is Nkukong Kitten. That was also a big one.
Yes.
$244 million you budgeted for in 2026.
Yes.
I didn't hear about it.
Oh, I think it's all part of the Ministry of Agriculture's.
That's Finance Minister Kassiel Atuforsen in an interview with Evans Mensah on PM Express last week. We'll come back to the 24-hour economy and the Women's Development Bank. We have Musa Dankwa back on the line with us. We'll also try to get response from government. But in the meantime, let's focus on another aspect of the polls that were released by Global Info Analytics. It's quite interesting because it says that Education Minister Haruna Idrisu has lost momentum in the race to succeed President John Mahama as NDC National Chairman Johnson Isiedu Nketiah draws level with Finance Minister Kassiel Atuforsen in their latest polling, with Atuforsen still emerging party strongest candidate for the 2028 election. Well, the July national tracking poll marks a shift from June, when Atuforsen led comfortably with 32.5%, followed by Isiedu Nketiah with 21.2% and Haruna Idrisu with 21.1%. Just a month later, though, Isiedu Nketiah has climbed sharply to tie Atuforsen at 31% each, while Haruna Idrisu has dropped to third with 15%. Well, the poll is also suggesting that despite the tightening race within the NDC, Atuforsen remains the party's strongest candidate in a potential 2028 presidential contest against the NPP. And joining me back in the studio again is Michael Ashale. And Michael has been going through that polling as well. Michael, the July poll appears to have reshaped the NDC succession race, if the Global Info Analytics polling is anything to go by. What exactly has changed since the last survey in June?
So the biggest movement, if you look at the report, is the surge by the NDC National Chairman Johnson Isiedu Nketiah. In June, Finance Minister Dr. Kassiel Atuforsen, like you said earlier, led comfortably on 32.5% of all those that were polled for that report. In that same report, Isiedu Nketiah and Education Minister Haruna were virtually tied at 21.2 and then 21.1% respectively. A month later, what is the one that has been released in July? Isiedu Nketiah has climbed almost 10 percentage points to 31%, drawing level with Atuforsen, who has held virtually the same support. Haruna Idrisu, however, though, has fallen sharply to 15%, effectively dropping out of what is now a two-man contest. It used to be three individuals, Kassiel Atuforsen, Isiedu, Johnson Isiedu Nketiah, and then Haruna Idrisu. And then usually you have the current vice president in fourth position. If you look at the polls clearly, almost everybody except for one other person who has gained some level of vote in this polls since June, the only person who fell significantly actually is that of Haruna Idrisu, who is the education minister currently.
That's quite interesting there. But if Isiedu Nketiah has caught Atuforsen in the race to lead the NDC, why does the poll suggest Atuforsen is the stronger candidate for the 2028 general election?
Well, what they've been doing is to also compare or put side to side the NPP candidates vis-a-vis the NDC candidates. I'm sure Musa Dankwa, when he joins, is able to give us possibly a direct answer to this question. But because the poll measures two different contests, right? The first is who NDC supporters want to succeed President Mahama. Then Atoforsen in that particular one and Asiedu Nketiah are tied on 31 each. The second is who Ghanaians are more likely to elect president in 2028. In that scenario, Atoforsen polls 57.5% against a field including Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, while Asiedu Nketiah records 54.2% under the same conditions. That follows the pattern from June, when Atoforsen also outperformed Asiedu Nketiah in the presidential outlook, leading Dr. Bawumia by 54% to 34%, compared with Asiedu Nketiah's 49% to 38%. The trend suggests that while Asiedu Nketiah has closed the gap within the NDC, Atoforsen continues to be viewed as the party's strongest electoral candidate nationally when he is put side by side with the MPP candidates.
Michael Ashley, thank you very much. You still will stay with me in the studio. But in the meantime, let's go on Zoom and engage once again the Executive Director of Global Info Analytics, Musa Dankwa. Musa, you looked at the potential flag bearer race contest within the NDC, the race to succeed President John Mahama. Interestingly, there have been changes just within 1 month. What accounted for that?
Thank you very much for having me. Let me make one significant correction. You cannot compare this poll to that of the June poll. This particular poll sampled voters across the country by telephone only. And we intend for this to be the baseline poll for the telephone survey going forward. So that's why we didn't compare any of this data to the previous data that we published, because we are looking at a different set of people. In the June poll, we sampled people face-to-face across 83 constituencies. When we go back to the country in the next 3 months, we are unlikely to interview the same people we met the last June. So it is called cross-sectional poll. That is different from what we are doing now, which is longitudinal. We'll be calling the same delegate or the same people we've spoken to now in the next 2 months, and we'll track the views. So we cannot technically compare the two. We call this baseline, and it is baseline only.
Okay. Let's look at the margin of error in this latest poll. What is it?
The confidence level is 99%, and the margin of error is plus or minus 1.5%, according to the report. Now, what you see in the head and the race, which is Asiedu Nketiah, Atoforsen, and the race, is that the race is statistically tied, with Asiedu Nketiah leading with about 17 vote difference. And that is statistically a tie race. Now, what you also see is that when you disaggregate this data according to party affiliation, you will realize that Asiedu Nketiah's lead has been propelled by his level of support he gets from MPP voters. Though in the NDC folks, he has about 3% advantage, which is statistically tied as well because of the margin of error. And among the floating voters, Atu has a big advantage. And among those who don't tell us their party affiliation, both candidates are tied. And then among those who support other candidates, other parties, Atu has 5 points lead. So effectively, Asiedu Nketiah has been propelled by MPP voters, if you look at the data.
Interesting. And did your poll ask respondents why they preferred either Asiedu Nketiah or Atoforsen? I'm curious to know, what did they tell you, if you did?
Polls, we don't ask why most of the time, except some few cases. In this time, or in this instance, we didn't ask them why. But in the past, we've asked people what factors would they consider when choosing someone to replace John Mahama. And it has always been performance, vision, and also serve the government, as well as serve the party. So this is broadly what we think is driving people's numbers, though we have not linked them to the race yet.
Right. It's quite interesting, because in the likely matchup that any of them wins, your poll suggests that they will go on to beat Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia of the opposition MPP. Tell us more.
Yes, in this baseline poll, it shows Atoforsen with nearly 58%, at 57.7%, against Bawumia 35%. That's about 22% margin that he has. In the previous poll that we've done, we're not comparing them. The margins have been different. And in this poll, you could see Asede Nketiah doing better in this poll against Bawumia compared to the previous one, which we're not comparing. Just to draw your attention. So Asede Nketiah underperforms Atufosin among the general voters, because Atufosin does better in the general election among MPP folks than Asede Nketiah does. And also, Atufosin does better among floating voters than Asede Nketiah does. So this is where Atufosin has a big advantage. In the general election, some of the MPP people prefer him. And then among the floating voters, he has a very big margin.
Mm. Well, your poll seems to suggest a tightening race between Kassiel Atufosin and Asede Nketiah. Let's look at it statistically. Is the race effectively too close to call once the margin of error is applied, or can either candidate genuinely claim an advantage at this point?
Look, I mean, if you look at the race currently, the elections are long ahead, sometime in 2027. But what we are seeing is that, from a Asede Nketiah's perspective, he's been around the country touring a thank you tour. So he's well known, as well put himself out there that he could contest. We've not heard anything from Atufosin yet. He's not spoken. And if he does speak, I think that could fundamentally change the race. At the moment, some people are just holding back because they're not quite sure he's going to contest. Even a lot of people in high places don't believe he's going to contest. We don't know if he's going to contest. But from this data, it will be highly unlikely for him to say he won't contest.
Mm. Does that mean that anything can change with the next polling that you do, looking at the figures that we have right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are things that could happen in the country that could change the perception of people. For Atufosin, let me be very honest with you. His work involving the parliament, the budget approval and the budget processes tend to give him a bit of mileage in the media. And that could translate into additional vote down the line. General Asede Nketiah must find a way of keeping himself relevant and also in the news. Otherwise, he could slip down the race.
Once upon a time, it appeared that Education Minister Harun Idrisu was also a front runner. But looking at the current polls that you've conducted, it appears he's gone back to third or even further. Why?
You know, people are being realistic that for NDC, not as a country, for NDC, it may be unlikely they can go or they would go for another boarding candidate after having Mahama in the helm of affairs since 2012, from 2008 all the way till now. So they would like to have a change of button. And because NDC is a group of people who are from the Akan area, the Northern Bloc, the Ewe Bloc, and the Gadangbe Bloc, they may want to see another group take over the baton. And in that case, I think that kind of understanding is affecting Harun Idrisu.
And then we also have the likes of Chief of Staff Julius Debra, the Vice President Nana Jane Opoku Ajuman, who the poll didn't really mention that much. Are their chances looking any better?
Look, I mean, there are certain individuals that I think from this data, it will be very difficult for them to clinch up, looking at how the race is turning to be a two-horse race. It will take something magical for the rest of them to be competitive the way Asede Nketiah and Atufosin is. If you look at the delegate numbers, which was published sometime last month, it looks the same way. Asede Nketiah has slight edge over Atufosin among the delegates, and Harun Idrisu is distance third. So we are seeing something similar to what we are seeing in this poll, in the delegate. And I believe, from my view, and what I've seen on the data, I've seen quite a lot, it's going to be Atufosin and Asede Nketiah, if he contests.
Musa Dankwa, thank you very much. He's the Executive Director of Global Info Analytics. They're giving us a breakdown of his latest polling involving the likely individuals to lead the NDC into election 2028.